The challenge in presenting these films, says Peter Sawyer, projects coordinator at the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting, is to share with a wider audience the urgent issues surrounding water security.
Our goal for this screening is to just get these issues out there. We don't feel like they're kind of in the public consciousness, and we think that they should be because they're really important.
In DACA's challenge, filmmaker Steven Sapienza explores one of the fastest-growing cities in Asia. He says one-third of the 15 million people in the Bangladeshi capital live in slums, where access to safe water and adequate sanitation is limited.
And you can see it everywhere. When you're riding around in DACA, you see people queuing up to go to public toilets that are in not such great shape. You see hanging toilets where people actually, you know, will defecate, you know, over top of an open river or creek.
It's a sanitation disaster at the heart of this year's World Water Day theme, Water for Cities. Each year, 400,000 newcomers join DACA's urban poor, putting pressure on its already crowded slums. City water from DACA's Water and Sewer Authority, or WASA, comes at a price, available only to landowners. The film documents how a nonprofit group has helped to change the law and give the same water privileges to the urban poor. Diabolik Sinha is the group's founder.
A win-win situation actually occurred, because DACA WASA, they wanted their revenues. On the other hand, poor people, they want the service. And they immediately see the economic advantage of getting access to DACA WASA water supply, because that is cheap in comparison to private market. So they immediately buy in.
Steven Sapienza says more groups are seeking those rights, an effort that has already begun to scale up in Bangladesh and could become a model in other parts of the world.
My story was really just trying to point out that these problems with water and sanitation are solvable on some level, even if you have to start small. But there are some bright examples out there, and it's possible in the long run to save many, many lives.
A second Pulitzer Center-sponsored film is focused on Pakistan, where in 2010, floods covered one-fifth of the country, claimed 1,600 lives, and destroyed towns and farmland. Water Security on the Indus River by Fred Desem Lazaro journeys to Pakistan's northern border with Afghanistan, where aid worker Masood Alam is helping restore flood-damaged farms and irrigation canals for the 500,000 local people who depend on them. In a place better known for militant extremists, Alam says his major problem has been putting a lot of farmers back to work.
Farm families that have subsistence agriculture land holdings, they have lost their source of income generation.
That recovery will take time, says Pakistan water activist Simi Kamal.
Really, to help these people get back on the land, help them stay away from diseases as much as they can, help them with their own food needs, help get the kids back to school, you know, help them get over this winter.
The film also explores the irony that Pakistan is laced by rivers fed by the melting glaciers of the Himalayan mountains, but suffers from chronic shortages because water distribution is managed so poorly and complicated by disputes with neighboring India. Water scarcity affects one in three people on every continent, according to the World Health Organization. A third Pulitzer Center-sponsored film documents how China's second-largest freshwater lake has shrunk by half since the 1940s. Dongtinghu Lake has been used to quench the thirst of local communities and has also been meeting the competing demands of farms and factories. Increasing levels of silt from economic development is diminishing the lake even further, according to Chinese ecologist Jiang Yong. He says it's true that fish are less and less, and there are several reasons. First, the demand for fish has become greater. The population is growing, and there are more and more people around the city. They love to make fish and make several dishes with it. People have a conception that eating fish is a must when you come to Dongting. Yong adds that awareness of environmental protection is not enough. People need to find a way to live with the lake and not overexploit it if the lake is to survive. In the southeastern United States, people in three states have been squabbling for the past 20 years over access to the waters of the Chattahoochee River. The documentary Chattahoochee From Water War to Water Vision takes viewers along that winding river through Georgia, Alabama, and Florida to meet the people whose livelihoods depend on it. Producer Jonathan Wickham, speaking to us via Skype, says the solution to competing urban, agricultural, and business needs will require a new way of thinking about the shared resource.
And if you live upstream, that means you can make reasonable use of the water supply as long as you don't deprive your neighbors downstream.
The 52,000 square kilometer watershed serves 6 million people, from Gulf of Mexico oystermen to the 3.5 million residents of metropolitan Atlanta. The city is currently facing a court order to share local water resources with neighboring counties that could cut the city's supply in half. Catherine Bliss, director of the Water Project for the Center for Strategic and International Studies, says what this story and the others from around the world have in common is that solving these complicated water problems requires that people become educated and engaged.
I think each of the films, you know, by highlighting the human struggles, relates not only to the kinds of negotiations that we're talking about, but, you know, about education and awareness, conservation, and promoting a greater understanding of the fact that water is a shared resource.
Roseanne Skirbel, VOA News, Washington.